By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy will they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy will they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rocks. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together as we hear God's word this day. Holy God, as we read your word, may your spirit speak through it, that it may be for us the word of life. Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy in the first chapter, verses 1 to 14. Second Timothy is one of three epistles that Paul wrote. Another word for epistles is letters, that offers practical pastoral advice to church leaders. This letter is believed to be the last letter Paul wrote before his death, and he writes it to a younger pastor named Timothy, whom he met a decade before in the city of Lystra. Timothy now serves the church in Ephesus and is well known and respected by the Christians. So let us listen to the word of our Lord together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Eunice, or Lois, and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, today not only marks the first Sunday of my preaching as your interim pastor, but as we've said before, it also marks World Communion Sunday. I don't know if you know this, but World Communion Sunday is actually a gift the Presbyterians have given to the larger ecumenical church. In case you don't know, World Communion Sunday was first celebrated at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh in 1933 and was adopted as a denominational practice in 1936. From then on, churches all around the world, as Carrie was describing in the pictures, everywhere near and far have celebrated communion together on the first Sunday of October. Now more than ever, we need World Communion Sunday, even if it is simply to remind us that God's grace and love for God's children is greater than any suffering experienced among us or around this world. Now, the topic of suffering isn't probably the first choice most pastors would make to talk about on their first Sunday with a congregation. Along with the topic of money, suffering is another difficult situation to talk about. And yet the reality around the world is that suffering exists, sometimes more than any of us can bear. But part of getting to know one another will be in the telling of our stories, and stories that likely hold suffering and difficult times, pain and joy. I can tell you of moments in which I felt like I was suffering, some stories from not so long ago. The reality is that suffering exists among and around us and is very difficult to ignore. But what does suffering mean from a global perspective? And even more, why do we need to be worried about the suffering that is happening outside our very own lives? Our tendency, if we are to be honest, is to ignore the suffering and heartache that we often hear about. And we may even have valid reasons for that. How many of us have just felt overwhelmed by the suffering that we read about in the news or we hear on the radio? There are times where our reasons may be that we're just too busy. Or what happens in another town or state or country has nothing to do with what we're dealing with here in Lewistown. And there are days where even in Lewistown, we feel overwhelmed with the needs before us and the suffering around us. So often, we get overwhelmed by the heaviness of God's people and find it hard at times to relate to starving children in Africa, war-torn places in the Middle East, or political strains throughout Europe. And we think to ourselves, certainly God can take care of it all without us. Now, the Apostle Paul, he knew a lot about suffering. Early in his life, he knew best how to inflict suffering upon Jesus' followers. At the time, as he was Saul, he was at the forefront of killing those who confessed a belief in Christ. In fact, he had earned a reputation for one who expressed no sympathy towards those who were not faithful to Jewish law. But then there is the story of Saul, who was not yet Paul, and his journey on the road to Damascus. Many of you, I know, have heard this story. It was in that moment that God reminded us all that we are redeemable, loved beyond understanding, and worthy of another chance. And suddenly, the suffering Paul inflicted as Saul was removed, and a new purpose was placed in his life. And although Paul experienced much suffering in his new call as a Christian missionary, he never missed an opportunity to find joy in that suffering. I love stories like that, don't you? Stories that remind us of God's almighty love interacting in the world around us, prompting us when we need to be reminded that whatever challenges or difficulties or suffering we might observe or experience, that they are not the end of our stories. There are stories all around us about suffering. But there are also stories of God's intervening love and grace in the midst of those difficulties. And sometimes it is so very good for us to hear and to remember all the ways that God is working in and through God's people to restore the dark places of this broken world. Today on World Communion Sunday, I invite you to look at some of those stories with me. Paul encouraged Timothy to remember his testimony, his personal story of being saved and called to work as a leader among God's people. Let us listen to some of these stories that are happening today. 15 years after serving as a soldier in Iraq, the Reverend Matthew Fricker felt compelled to return to Iraq. And in his own words, he writes, "I could feel God calling me." Matt is the associate pastor at John McMillan Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh and was among 8 members of the Iraq Partnership Network who traveled to Iraq. The network is a Presbyterian group whose members share an interest in building relationships with Iraqi Christians and sharing a mutual ministry with them. The group visited 3 small Presbyterian congregations that still remain in Iraq. Since 2003, hundreds of thousands of Christians have fled the country to escape the war, the devastation left in its wake, and intense persecution at the hands of ISIS. Pastor Matt was deeply moved by what he experienced in Iraq. And he wrote, "I sat with people and we talked about our families, war, rebuilding, and hope for a brighter future. We talked about reconciliation and partnership. We talked with passion about unity and peace. And what I received from the people I met was healing. It was true love." Pastor Matt is creating healing and hope in a war-torn area of our world by being present in Iraq. Stories of rescue can be read at the International Justice Mission site, their website. And here's a story about slavery. Just last month, local officials freed 76 victims of human trafficking, including boys as young as 10 years old. They were saved from a group of jewelry factories profiting off forced labor for years. All of these 76 boys and young men were trafficked from West Bengal, a state 1,000 miles away in northern India. They had been made to work at the factories for 14 hours a day from 10 a.m. to midnight inside locked upstairs rooms of a dingy building. They slept in one large room on thin straw mats while factory owners monitored them constantly through CCTV cameras so they could never, ever run away. Each day, the boys had to make hundreds of pieces of gold jewelry, often handling harsh chemicals and breathing fine metal dust without protection. Some had been at the factories for 10 years. Even on the day of rescue, they were working furiously at their stations without stopping, and many of their hands were stained, scarred, and burned from the painful work that they did. Most of the boys rescued were very young. When they were rescued and brought to our vehicle, they started playing, says one International Justice Mission staff member. And they go on to say, that's the way it should be. They started to play, and that is the way it should be. They should be allowed, this mission worker went on to say, they should be allowed to enjoy and live their childhood and not made to work in hazardous conditions. They should be going to school. The International Justice Mission and government officials helped the rescue boys return to West Bengal on September 13th, to reunite with their families and begin recovering. When the boys heard the news that they'd finally be going home, they danced, excitedly packed their belongings, and hugged the staff with joy. Finding joy in suffering. Recently, a pastor friend made me aware of a nonprofit making films and documentaries from a Christian perspective. And they recently filmed the story of the underground church in China. Now, this isn't necessarily a story of hope, but it's a story that allows us to realize the injustices today that continue to happen for those who proclaim a belief in Jesus Christ. One man shared a story about living in fear because he was a Christian. He became a Christian 10 years ago, and his family followed him in that belief by converting their faith to Christianity. And yet he went on to say in this film that in their country, they can't worship publicly, not even in their own homes, because they are under the constant eye of the Chinese government. Officials will punish them if they find out that they're a Christian. In fact, he shared a story about one Christian friend in China who was taken by authorities, questioned about his faith, and then beaten very badly. There are times where we do need to be reminded that there are people who still suffer in ways we have never experienced, thanks be to God. And this is why the words that Paul spoke to Timothy are so relevant to all of us today. You see, we have been appointed, as Timothy was, to be heralds of the gospel story. A herald is an official messenger bringing news. And so this means that it is all of our privilege to share the good news of the gospel so that those who are living in darkness may no longer live in fear, but in the light of God's grace and love promised through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, there are many good, valid reasons why we can't join our Christian brothers and sisters in standing up to the forces that punish them for their belief. But perhaps what we can all remember this day on World Communion Sunday is that we should never, ever take for granted the gift we have been given that allows us to share our own Christian faith without shame, injury, or fear. And so may we join with them in suffering for the gospel by keeping Christians here and around the world in our prayers. Let us pray that no one would ever feel ashamed to proclaim their belief in Jesus Christ, but will rely on the power of God who has saved us all and calls us all to a holy calling. God is fully aware of the suffering God's children experience on earth. In fact, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, suffering beyond our imagination so that all of the really bad stuff we go through doesn't win at the end of our lives. Yesterday, I read this quote on Facebook. Sometimes you read good things on Facebook. And it goes like this. Jesus cried. He knew Lazarus was dead before he got the news, but still he cried. He knew Lazarus would be alive again in a few moments, but still Jesus cried. He knew death here is not forever. He knew eternity and the kingdom better than anyone else could. Yet Jesus wept. He wept because this world is full of pain and regret and loss and depression and devastation. He wept. Because knowing the end of the story doesn't mean you can't cry at the sad parts. There are people crying all over our world because they suffer. And we suffer too. And it's okay to cry. But Paul reminds us today in his letter to Timothy that the one that we've put our trust in Jesus Christ is able to guard us until the day of his return. So until then, we cry with one another. We share our stories of heartbreak, but we also share our stories of healing. We share our stories of anger and forgiveness, suffering and joy, and we acknowledge the gift of God that is within all of us, offering us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline in the world around us. That is the joy we find in all of our suffering. Jesus Christ, to God be all the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. If you will, please join me by standing in body or spirit as we sing, You Are My All in All.